This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. We're going to continue with our lesson on Paul from Acts chapter 9. We've noted that he has met the Lord on the Damascus Road and it has changed him. We often talk about salvation involving a conversion. And in Paul's case, that conversion was obvious, and that conversion was real. He changed from being a persecutor of the Lord Jesus to being one who preached that this Lord Jesus was, in fact, the very Christ. Now, we're going to start reading at verse 22, but for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. On that website, you can re-listen to the program, and you can read a weekly meditation that I put on there. You can contact me through the website or my regular mailing address if you would like to leave me prayer requests or comments on the program. But if you want a subscription to Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, that's a free subscription. You will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write my address down so you can send me yours. So we'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, starting at Acts chapter 9 and verse 22, we read, "But Saul, increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Paul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to him how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists." The King James Version says against the Greeks. "But they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, and were edified." That is, they were built up in their faith. "And walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So they were built up, and they grew in terms of numerical numbers." Now we trust the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. Paul was changed. We can see that he started out thinking that he was serving the Lord by persecuting Jesus, this one that he thought was from Nazareth, who was a imposter, this one who couldn't possibly have been the Messiah. His mind was changed, and he began to prove from the Scriptures that this is very Christ. It's nice when we see a change in people after a conversion. Some people tell us that we need to repent from all of our sins in order to be saved, and we do need to repent. I've told people that when the Bible talks about repentance and we have committed specific sins that we know of that are keeping us from either being saved or from fellowship with God, we need to turn away from those sins. But there is a thing called conviction of sin and recognizing that we are all sinners, and we need to repent. We need to have that conviction that we are all sinners, but obviously repentance for a child is going to be perhaps different than repentance for a person who is a little older. Repentance for somebody who has walked in open sin is going to be different than perhaps repentance for someone who is self-righteous, but they all need to repent. In Paul's case, he did not need to repent with regard to immorality, but what he needed to repent of was the fact that he thought he was serving God when in fact he was serving the Pharisees, and that he was in fact persecuting the one that God had ordained to be Savior of the world. He had to repent. That was the sin he was committing, and he turned from that sin, and we can see the change in him as he turned from that sin, because that was the sin that was keeping him from trusting in Christ. He repented, and he believed. I don't know that he repented of every sin he had ever committed, but he did repent because he had persecuted Christ. And because he had persecuted Christ and the Christians, he now preached him, and that conversion was real, and now he's the one that is being persecuted. He is reaping what he sows, and I think he's more than willing to reap what he sows, but you can see that he was very faithful. He was a very zealous man in all that he did. He was very faithful to the Lord in preaching that and proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And so we see the cruelty of the Jewish religion. The fact of the matter is, we see the cruelty of man to man all the way through the scriptures. The heart of a man's heart was only evil continually in the Old Testament before God destroyed the world with a flood. There was violence in the earth, and as we go forward in time, we find out that it's easy for men to want to kill other men. I realize there's times when that's justified and when God gives us the order to do it. We could get into a lot of arguments about why God destroyed some of the nations in the Old Testament, but it was done so that people would understand that those nations that had been given every opportunity to repent and to serve the God that their ancestors had served, they wouldn't do it. They turned away from God, and so the Lord used Israel to destroy those nations, and he did that so that the nation of Israel would not be destroyed by what they believed. There is a thing in the Bible called separating the light from the darkness, and God tries to do that, and we'll see that even in this passage as we move along. Because after Paul leaves Damascus, he comes to Jerusalem and he tries to join the Christians at Jerusalem. But the Christians at Jerusalem do not think he's real. They remember what he has done, how he has persecuted the Christians. And so it takes Barnabas to come alongside and say, look, I was at Damascus. I saw what had happened. This man is real. And not only has he preached Christ, he has publicly confessed Christ by being baptized. Now, that's not in the passage, but I'm just sure that they knew that he had publicly taken his stand with the Lord by being baptized. I cannot imagine them receiving him at Jerusalem if, after they had talked to him and said and had asked him if he'd been baptized, if he had told them, well, I just don't think that's really too important. I'll do that sometime if the Lord convicts me of it, because if he hadn't been willing to be baptized, I don't think they would have believed that he was real. And frankly, I've said this over and over on this program, I don't think we understand how important a biblical baptism is, even in our own day. It does not save, but the saved should be baptized, and if they're not willing to be baptized, there's something wrong with their love for the Lord Jesus. And so Paul had made that public confession, and then he had done some public preaching, and Barnabas had said, this man is okay, this man is real. We often receive people into our fellowships and give them leadership positions without that kind of concern about whether they are real. I personally believe that before people should be received into our fellowships permanently, we should hear their testimony. We should find out how they were born again. I think we should ask them when they were baptized and why they were baptized. I think we should know enough about them to find out if they are coming in with a desire to be a help and to learn and to cooperate, or whether they've got some false doctrine that they're going to come along with and try to promote. Later on, when Paul talks to the Ephesians, I believe it's in Acts chapter 19, he says, after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in amongst you. And he talks about how that there will be false teachers rising up from among you, and how that we have to be careful, because Satan is an enemy. And even though we want to receive into our fellowships everyone that God has received, and we don't want to be an exclusive people and a hard people, yet at the same time there's a real enemy out there, and that enemy is trying to destroy the church of God, trying to destroy that which is of God, trying to destroy the gospel. And so we need to have doorkeepers. They were, in the Old Testament, we read, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And we often think of that as being a very humble position, but really it's a very important position. A doorkeeper keeps what should be in and keeps what should be out. And we don't in trying to receive people like Paul. We don't try to keep people out that should be in. No, we don't base our reception policies on the color of their skin or their ethnic background or the language that they speak. We base our reception policies on the Lord that they believe in, and we want to see evidence that they really believe in that Lord. And that was the case when Barnabas spoke up for Paul. In the New Testament, they often used letters to introduce people as they were traveling from one congregation to another. Letters from people they knew so that they could bring somebody in and have full fellowship with them and let them be a part of a congregation without concern for whether or not they were real. Paul had been converted. Paul was real. Barnabas could vouch for that. And so now he's with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He participated in the activities of the Christians. He didn't just go off on his own and do what we might say a maverick would do. No, he had participated with the Christians in their activities. There was a true fellowship here, and he was with them in that fellowship, with them at Jerusalem, going in, coming in and going out. And I think the coming in would probably have to do with their coming together to worship, and their going out would probably have to do with their going out for service. And he was involved in that. But notice that because he is bold and because he preaches what he believes now, even though he's not been saved very long, again the Jews are going to do the thing that they've always wanted to do. It shows the hatred in their heart toward the very God that they say they worship, and they want to destroy him. They want to, again, they want to kill him. Killing is the solution for all of their evils. There isn't a desire on their part to convert people. There's a desire on their part to intimidate people by killing those that they disagree with. And so they have to send him away, and until they send him away, there's no peace in the area, because obviously he's the one who had disturbed the peace when he was persecuting the Christians. And now, in a sense, he's disturbing the peace because he's preaching Christ. And we find out that the message of the cross often does that. It disturbs the people around us. And we know that we're living in a day when we're being more and more restricted with regard to what we can say. And I think as Christians, we need to be wise in what we say and where we say it. But we do need to be faithful to the Lord when we have opportunity to speak up for him. We do need to be faithful to him, and we do need to recognize that if we are faithful to him, there are going to be people who will reject us, and in time it may come to be that there will be people who will persecute us. But friend, the Lord is our Savior. He's worth defending. He's worth standing up for. He's worth believing in. And I trust that he is your Savior and that you have been converted, much like Paul was converted. Perhaps not as drastically or majestically, but as real. Nevertheless, I trust that you've been converted. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for the message of the gospel, and we commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.